Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Ephesians. If you'd like to have one book, one finger, or put a bookmark in 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll be getting there a little bit later. 1 Peter chapter 2, that Andy read from earlier. And if you could have the other finger in Ephesians chapter 5. There are verses in the middle fold of the bulletin that we'll be using outside of Ephesians and 1 Peter 2. Bob, could you kill these southern heaters, please? We'll keep it warm, okay? If we start to get cold, we'll turn them back on, okay? But I think we'll go to sleep if we leave them on. Okay, let's ask God's help. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for our mothers as we've been praying and emphasizing throughout the service today. Lord, and so as we come to your word, I pray that it be help to the ladies of our homes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been doing a series called Our Home, and we've also been doing another series called Trusting God. And in the message today, both those series come together with the title of Trusting God at Home. Well, ladies, this message is directed at you today, but it has much application to the men also. It is particularly emphasizing married women, but it also is for the unmarried. This message is the necessary companion to the Father's Day message that we preached in September of last year. In that message, I told you the stories about a couple of women by the name of Teresa and Robin. Time has passed in their household, but I want to remind you of their situation and fill you in on some of the developments. Of course, these are made-up stories, but I think they are typical stories. Teresa is married to Joel. Now, Joel is a bit of a problem as a husband. He appears to be godly at church, but at home he has no spiritual interest at all. He's not interested in the lives of his kids. He never played with them when they were younger. And he does not do family devotions. He's never sought to lead his children to Christ. He shows little love. He does interact with his children, but every interaction is out of anger and aggression and seeking to control the situation. He rules them with force and anger. They obey at home to stay out of trouble, but outside the home, the boys are living wild lives. They have been expelled from school. And their girl dresses seductively, just short on material, above and below. And she likes being chased by the wrong sort of boys. Joel blames Teresa for these problems with their kids and the other problems in their home. And so Teresa has decided on a strategic withdrawal. She hates being yelled at, and that's Joel's normal way of controlling the situation by yelling. She hates being yelled at. And Teresa has found that a certain level of complying with Joel's demands gives her much peace that she longs for, and also gives allows Joel to give in to certain things in her life, like she gets to get out and do some shopping. Teresa appears to be submitting to Joel, but just enough to get what she wants. Robin is married to Phil. Phil is quiet and distant. He never sought to help their autistic son, who now spends his time spraying graffiti everywhere. Kendra, the older sister, just likes to stay out at her friend's home. She doesn't want to come home. She finds no love there. He never shares anything with Robin. Phil is not abusive like Joel, but Robin is totally a computer widow. He doesn't interact with her at all. Robin's growing bitterness to Phil exploded when she found that he'd been using pornography on the internet. She became angry and then despondent, and she's been troubled by irritable bowel syndrome. But Robin has found a caring friend at work. She's decided to let Phil work out the problems with the kids. After all, he caused them in the first place. She is leaving, divorcing him, and moving in with her friend. Now, we can see from these scenarios that both Teresa and Robin have difficult husbands. And Teresa and Robin have responded in different ways to their difficulties at home. Their scenarios, of course, do not limit the possibilities. Some women have husbands who drink. Some women have husbands who gamble. Others have husbands that are unfaithful in other ways. In talking about difficult husbands, I do not seek to open real wounds on Mother's Day. I seek to add the balm, the soothing of the Word of God to wounded lives. I desire healing and not hurt for our ladies, our mothers today. But to have healing, first we must examine the wounds, looking for infection. You see, the way that we react, ladies, to difficult husbands can infect our already wounded lives. I guess it would be true to say that all homes have challenges to greater or lesser extents, for we are all people with our sin bents. What I want to bring to you, ladies, today is not a resignation like Teresa, nor a rebellion like Robin, but a peaceful, sweet trust in God in the face of your challenges. How do we reach that place? How is it achieved? Well, the biblical issue is submission. Teresa didn't find the way of biblical submission, and Robin certainly didn't find the way of biblical submission. How do we find it? I do say we, for men are also included in this. We men also need to find how to biblically submit. All of us, one way or another, are under authority. This message has application to the men, and it has application to the unmarried, although it's specifically to the married ladies. When faced with a situation where we're biblically required to submit, we have three major choices. Bottom line, we want to be able to trust God in our homes. That's where we're going. When faced with a situation where I need to biblically submit, the first choice I can make is I can refuse to submit. I can simply refuse to submit. Okay, let's have a look at biblical submission. Number one, as Christians, the Bible tells us to submit to our government. Romans 13 and verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities." And we might ask straight away, are there exceptions to this? And we'd say, sure, we've been praying for Pastor Lin today. Pastor Lin has to disobey his communist government every time he witnesses. Peter explained in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. In the end, we have to obey God if men are requiring us to do different to that. Number two, as Christians, the Bible tells us to submit to bosses. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22 says, bondservants, applying that to employees today, obey in all things, and you could underline in all things, your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, not just appearing to please them as men pleases, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God, because it is, after all, to God we're submitting when we submit to bosses. Now, when it says all things, it means normally in all situations, but are there exceptions? Well, sure there are exceptions, just like there are exceptions with submitting to government. If a boss asks you to be dishonest, maybe to put things aside out of the inventory, if a boss asks you to be dishonest, you have to humbly refuse and joyfully accept the consequences. Normally, we would submit ourselves to bosses, but there are often consequences if we will not submit. That's true whether we're talking about governments or whether we're talking about bosses. When we have to refuse, there will be consequences for that. The pastors in Laos expect to get jail terms because they promote Christianity. These consequences need to be accepted with both humility and with joy as a witness to the authority that is over us. Acts chapter 5 and verse 41 says, "So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." So there are consequences to refusing to obey the authority, but we receive those consequences with joy and humility. Number three, as Christians, there is a mutual submission in the church. The body is to submit to the leadership. Hebrews 13 and verse 17 says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." And the leadership is also to submit to the body. There are these checks and balances in the Word of God, because if the leadership is going wrong, there is a authority in the body also. Ephesians 5 in your Bible and verse 21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So the body is to submit to the leadership, and the leadership is to submit to the body. Number four, we are to submit to governments. We are to submit to bosses. We are to submit to each other in the church. And number four, as Christians, there will be a pattern of submission in the home. Children, first of all, are to submit to parents. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, children, obey your parents, there's this phrase again, in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. That means normally in those various situations of life. We say, are there exceptions? Well, what if they stop me going to church? I would say to a teen whose parent doesn't want them to go to church, submit to your parents. You'll need to read your Bible more. You might listen to MP3 sermons and the like, but parents have an authority over children. What if they ask me to lie? Well, you can't do that. You can't disobey God. Maybe the phone goes and Dad says, tell him I'm not here. Well, you can't say he's not there if he is there, but you can say, sorry, Dad is unavailable. There may be consequences for not doing exactly what Dad wanted you to do, and we accept those consequences how? We've already said, with joy and with humility. Now, of course, we get to the scenario on which we're focusing today. Wives are to submit to husbands. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. That's all that Colossians says, but Ephesians goes into a little more detail. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. In other words, wives, submit to your husbands just in the same way as you would submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Ephesians 5:24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Wives, be subject to your husband in the same way that the church of Jesus Christ is subject to her Lord. Some women react to these verses regarding submission and subjection, saying, the Bible is antiquated, and Paul was a woman hater. I do not have to submit in this kind of way. But what we're reading here is not Paul per se. This is the Spirit of God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking through his word. And he is the same yesterday and today and forever. This is not antiquated. This is real and applies to the 20th century, even when women are told that they do not have to submit. The command is from God and stands today. Other women react by saying, well, submit is a bad translation. Well, if submit doesn't mean submit, we Christians can't expect our children to submit. We don't have to submit to government. We don't have to submit to one another in the church. We don't have to submit to bosses. All of that is quite foolish. No, submit means submit, and it is God who establishes the order in our society. I hear yet other women saying, but you don't realize how hard that is. Okay, now, I don't understand how hard that is. I'll never be a woman or a wife. But in some senses, I can. In one sense, I have to submit to church decisions, even if I personally disagree with them. I have to submit to government. You say, well, that's not as hard as submitting to a husband every day. Sure. In the past, I've had to also submit to ungodly employers. I missed out, that is, I lost a job one time because I would not look after women who had had abortions. Now, that had great and serious consequences in my life. It meant that I did not get the obstetric experience that I needed for life in Africa. It meant that when my wife had complications with her pregnancy in Africa, I didn't have the necessary experience there either. And that has left scars in our lives, personally, my wife and I. So, because I have submitted to authority in the past, there is continuing hurt in our lives. But in the end, I cannot totally put myself in someone else's shoes. And I have to say, look, I don't fully understand how difficult it is to submit to a hard or a harsh husband. But can I say, God does, and he asks you to submit. Let's think about Robin. How hard it would be to be married to a man who never wanted to talk, never wanted to share his heart, never helped with children, just sat at his computer doing internet trading all day, and then more recently sat at the computer lusting after pornographic images. We can understand her hunger for relationship. We can understand that that she lost every skerrick of respect for him when she found his sin, that sin of pornography. What kind of life are we condemning Robin to if we tell her to go home and to submit to Phil? Well, all of that leaves God out of the picture. We've been doing a series called Trusting God. In that series, we've learned that God is sovereign. God is in control of his world. Psalm 103 and verse 19 says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." We've learnt that God is in control over those in authority, those who are over us. God is in control of them also. Proverbs 21 and verse 1 says, "The king's heart," the king representing anyone in authority, "the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes." So God is able to control those in authority over us. And we have learnt that God can move the hearts of ordinary people like us. We looked at Ezra chapter 6 and verse 22, which says, "And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy." Why? "For the Lord made them joyful." God is able to move in our hearts to make us joyful, to turn our heart this way or that, and that's what the verse says. "And turned the heart of king of Assyria toward them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel." Okay, so God is able to work even in a harsh or a difficult husband's heart. So we can say to Robin, in her distress, in her home situation, "Robin, hang in there. The pastor has already begun to counsel Phil about his pornography, and he will surely deal with the other marital issues. Robin, don't confide in another man like you've been doing at work. Take your troubles to the Lord." I can hear Robin saying, "But I'm having a hard time trusting God in this situation." But Robin, has God ever let you down? Has God ever let anyone down? Can God be unfaithful? Isn't God always faithful? Has God ever failed to do good? Has the Lord ever left you or forsaken you? Has the Lord ever failed in wisdom? Robin, what is it about God that you don't trust? That he won't change your situation just when you want it changed? Don't you realize that God is using that situation to push you onto himself, independence? Break off with this other man at work and find help in the Lord. God is using this situation with a difficult husband just to shape you and to make you like his son. Don't rebel anymore like the prodigal son, but see your own sin as the prodigal son did. Humble yourself like he did and return to your father. Don't make the wound worse by a wrong reaction. Robin, you can trust God even in your difficult marriage, just as Christians in persecuted countries can trust God in those difficult situations. Will it be hard and lonely? Probably. But the sufferings of this age are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. God is at work in our lives. When faced with a situation where I need to biblically submit, the second choice I can make is I can submit for my own ends. Firstly, I can refuse to submit. Secondly, I can submit, but for my own ends. What Paul says about submission, is exactly what Peter says about submission to God. And I'd like you to flip over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First of all, we are to submit to government. Andy read for us a little bit earlier, chapter 2 and verse 13. "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake, whether the king is as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good." Submit yourself to govern. Submit yourself to masters, verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. You see, can you see that God allows harsh governments? God allows harsh bosses? God allows harsh husbands because they are the chisels. Just imagine when you come to Christ that your life is like a block of wood. And God sees Jesus Christ in that block of wood. And then he uses the chisels of life, these harsh circumstances, to chisel away and remove everything that doesn't look like Christ so that the image of Christ is formed in you. God uses harsh governments, harsh bosses, harsh husbands. Number three, so then it is no surprise, Peter also says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. And in verse 6, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. So faced with the situation of submitting to a difficult husband, we could make the choice of Teresa. Let's consider Teresa's situation a little more closely. Joel is a control freak. He is demanding, he is abusive, and he is aggressive. Hurt by Joel so many times, Teresa has lost any love that she ever had for him. Teresa's not going to go out like Robin and have an affair, but her life at home is not much of a life either. She has learnt some tactical maneuvers which make the best of a bad situation. She has learnt what things appease Joel enough so that she can get out of the house and have some money to spend on her own. And also she's learned how to keep the flare-ups to a minimum. Teresa may look like a submissive wife, but she's only submitting to Joel where it suits her so that she's able to get her own way and find some happiness. Now, whilst we can understand Teresa's choices, neither has Teresa brought the Lord into the picture of her marriage. Teresa has made some comfortable choices, but they are not the best choices. She has not rebelled and chucked the marriage like Robin did, but there are only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God and pleasing self. And both ladies in different ways have chosen what they want. What God requires, whatever the authority is, what God requires is a sweet, humble submission of wives to their husbands, despite what he is. A sweet, humble submission, just like they would submit their lives to the Lord Jesus. For in fact, if they are not submitting to their husbands, they are not submitting to the Lord Jesus, nor are they submitting to the Word of God either. Is this a tough ask? Absolutely. No woman can do this of herself. But this is a companion message to the Father's Day message. Do you remember how we talked about men are to love their wives as Christ loved the church? And we said no man can do that either. Can any man love his wife with the same care and value and sacrifice as Christ showed to his church, even when she is not responding to him? No man can do this of himself. Take an unsafe couple, and if they try to live the Christian life at home, the wheels will fall off in a matter of weeks. And no Christian couple can live a Christian marriage in the flesh. It has to be a supernatural thing, a supernatural marriage. Both husband and wife drawing from Christ the strength they need to fulfill the roles that God has loved them. The husband loving his wife in the same way that Christ loved the church. The wife submitting to her husband in the same way that we submit to Christ as God's people. So, Teresa, like Roman, must look to Christ and his enabling to live with a very difficult man like Joel. Are there exceptions to a wife's submission to her husband? Sure. There are normally, in all things, a wife would submit to a husband. But there are exceptions, just like there are with the other positions of authority too. A wife has every right, and I've expanded on this in the bulletin. You might want to read the article a little bit later on. A wife has every right to leave a dangerous situation. And where there are actions which are against the law, she should involve the authorities. The law is there to stop criminal activity. And if a man is treating his wife in a criminal way, that needs to be taken to the law. The law is there to help her with a situation like that. A second situation is where there is marital unfaithfulness. That is enough, according to the Word of God, to break marriage, and yet the breaking of the marriage is not the best way either. I was sitting across the lounge room from someone recently and saying, but God's best is confession and forgiveness and restoration. And they would suggest another what-if scenario, and I repeated, yes, but God's best is confession of the sin, forgiveness of the partner who has sinned, and restoration of the relationship. But those two examples, violence, where there might need to be separation, it's not a ground for divorce. Example where there are violence and where there is unfaithfulness may not cover every example. But yes, there are examples where a woman does not have to submit. But ladies, that is no way that we should use this as an excuse in the normal situations of life. Teresa and Robin can trust God to be at work, can't they? Can't they trust God to be at work in their respective situations? I can hear either one of them saying, but I don't trust my husband. I hope, ladies, you can trust your husband. And I hope, husbands, you can trust your wives. There ought to be a mutual trust between husband and wives. But that is not required by the Word of God. God requires us to trust Him. God has allowed the marriage in the first place. God has allowed the situation to arise, whatever that situation is. We can affirm that in my situation where I am at home, God has all power. God continues to love me as His child. That God has a good plan for my life. That God is working in my life to form the image of Christ in me. I can affirm all these things and I can draw close to the Lord and I can trust Him. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not depend on your own maneuverings like Teresa to find happiness. Throw your situation into the Lord's lap and continue to live for Him and continue to trust Him to work in His time. He can work in that very difficult family situation. It may be that the marriage will never be put right. Let's consider that scenario. But could I say, ladies, Jesus Christ will be more precious to you than any other lady in the church because you have to depend on Him every moment, sometimes for every statement that is made in the home. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Don't infect the wound by less than godly reactions to the hurt. Trust is the way of peace, and I want for you His peace in your home. When faced with a situation where I need to biblically submit, the third and only good choice I can make is I can submit while trusting God. I can submit while trusting God. Are you personally going to have a hard time trusting God? Then maybe you don't know Him well enough. Ladies, you can trust Him with your lives. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5 in your Bible says, for in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Ladies, clothe yourselves with humility and hope. Obey the Lord and trust Him only. Don't rely on self. The responses of Robin and Teresa are proud and self-reliant. And because of they've depended on their own way in that situation, they will lose all hope. Robin lost any hope at all. She lost hope completely and sought for a second relationship. Teresa had lost hope of Joel ever changing and just tried her own tactics. When we respond biblically and humbly in submission, hope is maintained. You see, as we respond biblically and humbly, we're giving the channel for God to be able to work in that family situation. Can I ask you again, can you trust God? Suppose you're down the street and someone comes up to you and asks to borrow $50. And they say to you, give me your name, telephone number and address, and as soon as I get paid this week, I'll give that $50 back to you. Chances are the most compassionate of us wouldn't lend $50 to a stranger. And certainly if we did, we wouldn't give them our name and address because we wouldn't know what they would do with that. What if, on the other hand, when you're down the street, your father or a brother comes up and says, I left my wallet at home. Can you lend me $50? You know that in the past they have given to you. You know that in the past they've been on your team. They've batted for you. You have the greatest respect for them. You know that they love you and they can be entirely trusted. And probably you'd give them the $50. The application for many of us is all too pointed and painful. We have to admit that often we have a hard time trusting God because we don't really consider him trustworthy. To us, he looks more like a wolf among sheep, making life miserable for us, than a good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. This is our dilemma. Who will we trust? There are only two choices on the shelf: trusting God or trusting self. And the enemy will slander God. He'll whisper in his ear, in our ears, he doesn't care. You're on your own. God hasn't got any power to do anything about that situation. God's made a mistake in your situation. God isn't good. And all those kind of lies and many more. So here is the balm of the Word of God for the challenging situation in your home. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. You'll keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. There is a peace and there is a hope in trust. Submission can be a difficult road, and I continue to have some of the scars of that submission under authority. But when God requires submission, it is the only way of peace and of rest. Isaiah 30 and verse 15, for thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Do you trust God with your situation at home? Can you trust him? Isn't he worthy? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bring a tremendous peace to any lady in this room today who's struggling with the situation at home. I pray that you would flood her heart with a peace and joy because she looks to you. You'll keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Help her to trust with a sweetness and a humility. And I pray, Lord, that you would use her responses as a channel to change situations in the home. Oh Lord, I pray that you would be working on any husband here today who is not doing right, who is not loving his wife as Christ loved the church. Oh Lord, I pray that you would rebuke them. I pray, Lord, that you would deal with them. I pray, Lord, that you would lead them in a hard way until they see their error, until they see their sin, and treat their wives the way you treated them. But I pray for the wives today. Whatever happens in their home, Lord, I pray that they would trust you. Maybe they can't trust their husbands, but I pray, Lord, today that they would trust you and you would give them peace. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.